it rolling, Bob?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Hi, folks. This is Chris Gregory here again, and welcome to Bob Dylan, A Head Full of Ideas. This is season 3. And this is episode 14. Today, I'm going to be reading an extract from my book, which is called Determined to Stand, The Reinvention of Bob Dylan. This came out a couple of years ago. And it's a study of Dylan's later work from Time Out of Mind onwards up to pretty much the present day, including songs from Rough and Rowdy Ways. I'm actually engaged on writing a trilogy of Bob Dylan books. The second book, which is going to be called Minstrel Boy, is going to be a study of Dylan's kind of middle period, whereas the third book, which I haven't quite got a title yet, is going to be a study of Dylan's early work. So we're doing a kind of trilogy in reverse. Anyway, I was lucky enough to see quite a lot of gigs on Bob Dylan's tour in Britain and some of the gigs in Europe from last year. And I must say that having listened to Rough and Rowdy Ways for a long time, kind of feel now that this particular song I'm going to talk about is kind of my favourite track, although that of course could change. So I'm going to talk today about the song Crossing the Rubicon, which has got some really fantastic live versions that Dylan's performing regularly. Two of the songs from Rough and Rowdy Ways, Crossing the Rubicon and Key West, have particularly pronounced dreamlike qualities. The identities of their narrators seems to be constantly shifting in time and space. On occasions, it appears that Dylan's authentic personal voice is coming through. At other times, we hear the voice of a historical character. The narratives of both songs take us in and out of various geographical locations, but the real journeys being undertaken are in the minds of the narrators. Crossing the Rubicon is a slow 12-bar blues, which depicts an intense internal struggle. Its narrator wrestles with uncomfortable and sometimes contradictory emotions. In contrast, Key West, which is the next track on the album, is a trance-like, meandering and meditative piece whose narrator seems to have found some kind of personal resolution. The two songs depict Dylan's own inner struggles with his inspirational muse and his eventual coming to terms with her essential nature. Crossing the Rubicon is constructed in a very regular pattern, with 9 verses of 4 lines each. Dylan's vocal is especially nuanced on the album, depicting the conflicting extremes of decisiveness and indecision between which the narrator is continually being thrown. The narrator appears to be planning some kind of revenge, which he describes in particularly bloody terms. He seems to be experiencing considerable trepidation with regard to the decisions he needs to make. But he continually stresses that his actions have been forced upon him. In the first 3 lines of every verse, he struggles with his conscience and tries, with varying degrees of success, to justify himself. He's forever brooding on the potential consequences of his actions. His continual insistence that he has crossed the Rubicon is so overstated, however, that it may be that he is merely indulging feverish fantasies. The title of the song refers to a well-documented historical event, when Julius Caesar made the decision to cross the river that marked the boundary of the territory ruled directly by Rome. Caesar knew that his decision would lead to civil war. The triumph of his troops over those of Pompey, that's the other general he was fighting against, led to the extinction of the Roman Republic, which had existed for over 400 years, and the creation of a dictatorship which later became a massive and long-lasting empire. Thus, the crossing over the river came to represent a crucial moment at which the future destiny of Rome and its dominions was decided. The phrase has since come to symbolise any situation in which a potentially life-changing decision has to be made. The first lines of the song, "I crossed the Rubicon on the 14th day of the most dangerous month of the year, at the worst time, at the worst place, that's all I seem to hear," are delivered in Dylan's characteristic blues snarl. The way he crams in the syllables in the first line indicates a certain level of panic, as if he's worried that his actions may have indeed been rather rash. In the second line, he slows down a little while he complains that others have been trying to persuade him that the time isn't right to act. Thus, the song begins with a deliberate statement of defiance. In reality, 5 years passed between the crossing and the murder. Caesar was, however, killed on the Ides of March, that's the 15th. So perhaps historical time has been collapsed here for dramatic purposes. The implication seems to be that the narrator will be in some kind of imminent danger as soon as he takes his fatal action. When Dylan follows this with, "I got up early so I could greet the goddess at the dawn," he makes an odd little gulping sound in anticipation. So far, his pronouncements have been consistent with the Julius Caesar persona. One might well imagine Caesar beginning his campaign with an invocation to Aurora, the Roman goddess of the dawn. But soon, the narrator is already adding various mythical and literary associations. "I painted my wagon, abandoned all hope, and I crossed the Rubicon," he sings. To paint one's wagon is an expression of readiness for action, popularly associated with the 1969 movie of the same name, adapted from Lerner and Lowe's 1951 musical, and starring Clint Eastwood, who is a very interesting singer, certainly. Yes. In Dante's Inferno, the words "abandon all hope, ye who enter here," are inscribed on the gates of hell. It is already clear that the Rubicon is a symbolic rather than a real location. In a couplet rich in alliteration, we are informed that the Rubicon is a red river, going gently as she flows, redder than your ruby lips and the blood that flows from the rose. The first line, with its capitalised red river, sets up an association with Red River Shore's mysteriously indefinable heroine. The second line associates the image of ruby lips, a common cliche, of course, in romantic songs, with William Blake's pain to sexual corruption, the sick rose. The narrator seems to be clearly stating that the river he has crossed represents a torrent of sexual jealousy. He also seems to be suggesting that the river will one day run with the blood of his enemies. This recalls Macbeth's confession that, "I am in blood, steeped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go over." The following lines are amongst the most resonant in the song, mixing wry humour with terror of the unknown. 3 miles north of purgatory, one step from the great beyond, takes us back into hellish territory. "I prayed to the cross, I kissed the girls, and I crossed the Rubicon" is a memorable juxtaposition of the sacred and the profane. And in this song, as in a lot of the songs on Rough and Rowdy Ways and a lot of his other albums, Dylan seems to be slipping in and out of different types of personas. Sometimes he's himself and sometimes he's somebody else, it seems. Now the narrator seems to be a soldier again, preparing to go off to war. One could almost imagine him as a medieval crusader. But crusaders were meant to kiss the cross, not the girls, before battle. The lightly ironic tone of the line is more suggestive of a GI departing for World War II. We may already suspect that the narrator's positioning himself as some kind of military figure is actually a kind of fantasy. In the manner of so many blues songs, a pattern of loose associations is set up. The narrator is trying to convince us that he's a powerful figure capable of wreaking revenge on his enemy. But we can sense already that the boasting and strutting are going to have no effect. The narrator positively wallows in his own degradation while continuing to mutter threats. At first, he's relatively calm and philosophical. "What are these dark days I see in a world so badly bent?" he asks. The phrase "badly bent" is a phrase that actually appears in Little Walter's 1964 tongue-in-cheek lament, Dead Presidents, which is actually written by Billy the Kid Emerson and Willie Dixon. Little Walter's a famous blues singer, famous for playing the harmonica, which mentions the death of William McKinley, the President of the United States, whose assassination in 1901 actually is referred to at the beginning of Key West. The narrator appears to be sinking into a mood of regret. How can I redeem the time so idly spent? The tempo of the song increases as the narrator then sinks into a fit of jealousy. I feel the bones beneath my skin and they're trembling with rage, he tells us. And then he becomes especially petulant. I'll make your wife a widow. You'll never see old age. He's getting a bit nasty there, isn't he? And he growls his general disillusionment with all humanity. Show me one good man in sight that the sun shines down upon. He tries to convince us that he's ready for the coming battle with his usurper. If I survive, then let me love. Let the hour be mine. Before apparently attempting to set up a meeting place for the coming confrontation. Take the high road, take the low, take the one you're on. These lines, which appear to come from the Scottish ballad The Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond, tend to undermine the seriousness of his declarations. At the end of each verse, the narrator maintains his determination to cross the Rubicon. He states that, I embraced my love and put down my head, I pawned my watch and paid my debts, and I poured my cup and I passed it along. This suggests that he's steeling himself for some kind of transformation. It's as if his soul, or his inner conscience, if you want to call it that, is at war with itself. At times he appears to take on the persona of an ancient Roman general, whereas at others he slips into the realm of the mundane. His crossing may be taken to symbolise various difficult decisions. The mention of sharing a cup references the Last Supper, as if the narrator is comparing himself to Jesus before his trial and crucifixion. But the earlier statements of intent, such as pawning a watch, have already undercut such intimations. The narrator continues to attempt to summon up the courage to take the decisive step that he seems to be finding so difficult. He makes a particularly strong accusation. You defile the most lovely flower in all of womanhood, which he follows with, others can be tolerant, others can be good, strongly inferring that the object of his revenge is a vicious rapist to whom he will show no mercy. He gets down to some gruesome specifics next. I'll cut you up with a crooked knife and I'll miss you when you're gone, he says. Well, I'm not sure he'll miss him, I'm not sure we believe that, do we? But he doesn't sound angry here, merely world-weary. I stood between heaven and earth, he sighs, and I crossed the Rubicon. Meanwhile, the insults continue. You won't find any happiness here, no happiness or joy. It's hardly surprising in this context. But the object of the address appears to have shifted. Go back to the gutter and try your luck, he sings. Find yourself some nice young pretty boy. It seems now that he is addressing the woman who's left him, but in a tone that is almost childishly spiteful. By now, we have heard many threats, but there is little evidence that any of them have been, or really will be, actually carried out. The tone of weariness is sustained until the end of the song, even as the narrator tries desperately to summon up some much-needed courage. I feel the Holy Spirit inside, he declares, and see the light that freedom gives. I believe it's in the reach of every man who lives. He appears to have got the threats out of his system, but now he's really clutching at straws. There's little likelihood of him wreaking the revenge he's promised. He sounds broken, defeated. Keep away as far as possible, he mutters, as if giving himself an instruction that negates everything he's said so far. It's darkest before the dawn. In quoting this well-known, if actually entirely fallacious, proverb, which also appears in Meet Me in the Morning on Blood on the Tracks, he now appears to be in fear of the consequences of his actions. At the end of the line, Dylan mutters a tiny and almost inaudible, Oh Lord, which sounds like a cry of despair. The line that follows tells us that I turned the key and broke it off, and I crossed the Rubicon, as if he is indeed attempting to open a gate rather than cross a river. In the final verse, the narrator addresses a character by name for the first time, Mona, baby, are you still in my mind? I truly believe that you are. This is quite a surprise, given that Mona, actually, or somebody with the name Mona anyway, is a character whose features in 1966 surreal odyssey Stuck Inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again, where she advises the singer to avoid the railroad men who drink up your blood like wine. Stuck Inside of Mobile consists of a stream of consciousness of bizarrely comic images, all relating to its narrator being trapped in the wrong place at the wrong time. In that song, Mona seems to represent ungrounded fears or paranoia. It now seems she's standing at the singer's shoulder again. Perhaps the entire discourse of the song has been a product of the narrator's paranoia. After all, as he tells us, couldn't be anyone else who's come with me this far. It may be tempting to believe that this is the voice of Dylan himself, looking back over his inner emotional and creative life. On the other side of that river, one may find inspiration or love or merely despair. But sometimes it seems that one may need an army, so to speak, in support to have the strength to make the crossing. In the final haunting lines of the song, Dylan sounds almost unbearably fatigued, as if he is about to drift into a very troubled series of dreams. The killing frost is on the ground, he sighs, and the autumn leaves are gone. Then there is a return to looking east, where the sun will rise, although by now darkness has clearly descended. I lit the torch, and I looked to the east, and I crossed the Rubicon. While Stuck Inside of Mobile, which was written during a period when Dylan found that inspiration could come easily to him, is a playful series of surreal jests about not being able to escape from a hellish situation, in Crossing the Rubicon, Dylan, like the protagonist of Can't Wait, trembles at the entrance to a hell of his own making. In Mississippi, Dylan had written about the fear of drowning, in doubts about his own abilities. Here again, he confronts his fear of losing touch with his sources of inspiration. This is a very, very common theme, which is kind of buried just below the surface of an awful lot of Dylan's songs, particularly the later songs. No longer so sure that he can summon up the freewheeling imagery of songs like Stuck Inside of Mobile, he confronts a kind of existential terror. He's still 3 miles north of Purgatory, contemplating the mysteries of the undiscovered country in which new creations can be forged. He realises he has no choice but to continue crossing that river to explore the great beyond. To fail to do so would be a kind of spiritual and creative death. So he will have to wake up every morning, pay his respects again to the goddess of the dawn, and continue to make that crossing over and over again, no matter how difficult and painful that process may be. The track ends with a tortured blues guitar solo from Charlie Sexton, which expresses the struggle that the song communicates. Now, this is a song which, like again, a lot of the songs on Rough and Rowdy Ways, Time Out of Mind, a lot of Dylan's later songs, a lot of commentators appear to think he's singing about death. Is he going to cross the Rubicon? But I think that in most of these songs, he's actually singing about life. He's singing about how he can keep that poetic inspiration, his muse, how he can keep it running, how he can keep it going. That's not the easiest thing to do for a person of his age, obviously. That's about it for today, anyway. I hope you've enjoyed that. There'll be more extracts from the book at a later date, and I'll be back soon with the next episode. Be good, bye-bye, and don't forget to subscribe and to follow. And all the stuff you do with these kind of things. Okay, bye-bye.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Is it rolling, Bob?